Let's take our Bibles and open our Bibles this morning to Psalm 145. And we'd like to read this psalm and then give opportunity, if there's anyone who would like to say something about any one of the verses or more, something about this psalm that we have read, we give opportunity for that after we read the chapter. Let's read in this way. We have, we'll say we have three sections, this section, this section, this section, all right? And so we're going to read one verse. Someone from that section who wants to read will read. It's hard to read together because we have so many different translations here. And so you read from whichever translation, obviously, you have, but you read alone. From this section, then this section, then this section. It doesn't have to be the same person each time. As you see, we'll go around seven times because there are 21 verses. So someone from over here, will you read the first verse, please, of Psalm 145? Amen. We have just read Psalm 145. You came in on the last verse of Psalm 145, and we're just now going to give the opportunity for participation to share from the psalm. Just want to ask Brother Blues to finish the verse that you were reading. I think we cut you off, didn't we? I'm sorry.
The Lord is faithful to all his promise, loving toward all he has made.
All right. Verse 13. In some of your translations, it just says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And then we went on to verse 14. But in some of the translations, some of the texts, including, I believe, the Dead Sea Scrolls and others, you have this next part that says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. Now, it wasn't your fault that you went ahead because it wasn't in your translation and you thought that he was finished. But it's interesting that this is an acrostic psalm. There are several chapters like this in the Word of God. Some have 66 verses, some have 22 verses. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. But they have this. They go according to, in order, according to the Hebrew alphabet. And this is the one of those psalms. It has 22 verses, and you look down and you see 21 verses. Well, this second part of verse 13 is the part for the letter N, I guess you would call it, in the Hebrew alphabet, which would otherwise be skipped. All right, you'd go, I'm just making it our alphabet. You'd go from M to O instead of M-N-O. All right, so, but there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and this psalm includes a verse that begins with each one of those letters in order. So it's very neatly set up, as are a number of chapters in the Word of God. Like this, they're real works of poetry, and maybe you know some of the others. Lamentations 3 is one of them, 66 verses, a real great poem written by the prophet Jeremiah. But this is a wonderful psalm of praise. It tells us that it's a psalm of David, so that means it's the last thing that we know of in our Bible. I mean, as we read through our Bible, it comes from David. And it's a wonderful, a wonderful psalm that we have enjoyed reading. Probably something has stood out to you that you may want to share.
Looking at verse 1 and the last verse, they seem to be similar. You're okay. We can hear you.
Great.
It seems that when David started his psalms, there was a lot of complaints, a lot of prayers, a lot of complaints about his enemies. You can see Judas in Psalm 109, and it seems as he gets to the end of the psalms, he's either praising the Lord or he's speaking about his majesty, his power, his generosity, his goodness, the fact that he answers prayer, and that he's perfect, and he knows the hearts of men, and that he knows exactly what he's doing if he should delay a prayer or allow us to be in a trial. But it seems like that's the way the Christian life should be. I'm still working on that. I'm not trying to teach anything here because we're all in the same struggle. And if I seem that way, please forgive me. But it seems to me this is what the psalmist is saying. And it seems that the Christian life ought to be like that. We have our struggles. We have our tribulations. We have our petitioning. But I think as we get to know the loving heart of Jesus, and I think of that song, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. And it seems that this Psalm 145 is saying that. That God can be trusted. God can be praised. I knew of a man, a denominational minister. They didn't praise God too much in their congregation. But he was invited to a conference, and most of those men were Pentecostal. And all they preached about was praise. And he thought, how can that help me? I have some deep-seated problems. I have family members that are unsaved. I have family members that have cancer. And, you know, he just kind of listened, but not so much with an open ear. He just kind of endured. He wasn't very happy with the conference. He wanted to hear some teaching about overcoming or something. And then when he got back to the States, his wife picked him up, told him that one of his cousins was killed in a car accident, and another nephew of his left his wife. And, you know, he was crushed, and he says, don't drive me home, drive me to church, I want to pray. And then he says, I'll take a cab home. And he was a good minister. He was a good man, and he was taught, you know, put your face in the carpet and mourn and weep and show God how sorry you are. And that was his way. And he said, as soon as his knees hit the ground, he started to praise, and he started to dance, and he started to laugh. And he never did this in his life, but he started to speak in tongues. He didn't believe in tongues. But the Lord must have planted a seed in his heart when he was at that conference. It just goes to show you, God is so wonderful. Even when we don't listen sometimes with an attentive ear, God's always working. He's fighting against the enemy. Sometimes I think he has to fight against us harder than he fights against the enemy, because sometimes when we listen to these things, for a long time, and we know a lot up here, we can get hardened over here. And the Bible said that about the disciples. They didn't understand the loaves. They didn't understand the miracles. They were hardened. They loved Jesus. They followed the Lord. But they were hardened. They got used to things. They expected Jesus to work and to act and to be merciful. And I think that we should never take things of God for granted. I called a brother this morning, and he's saying, oh God, isn't it beautiful? Isn't life beautiful? Jesus allowed me to wake up. He didn't have to let me wake up. I could have died in my sleep. I have food on the table. And he was just talking about all the things he could praise the Lord. And of course, I got convicted. You know, I should visit your house more often. I'm going to learn something about praise. But I was so blessed, and I was thinking of that this week, how I should write everything that God does for me on a piece of paper and just say, Lord, thank you. I could have not got up. As a matter of fact, we almost got into an accident on the way up. Man was tailing me, and another person pulled out of a driveway, and the Lord was so merciful. And he's merciful spiritually. He gives us spiritual blessings. We read, daily loads us down with benefits, and he gives us natural blessings and health and finances, and I thank him. I thank him for that. I want to learn to love him better. I want to learn not to take things for granted, but to learn how to praise him, to learn how to study the word and these psalms, and see that David had after he was cleansed of his iniquity. A lot of people just remember David and Bathsheba, but he repented. And then the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. And isn't that wonderful when we repent, no matter what we've done? Now, we shouldn't sin because there are consequences and there are scars, but we should avoid sin. These things I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. We shouldn't sin. Thank God Jesus can keep us from sinning. Not that we're perfect and we can't make a mistake, but from willful sinning. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for what the Bible teaches, that Jesus is strong and he can keep us, and he can keep us rejoicing. And I thank God for this doctrine of praise. Brother Hans spoke about it a lot. Brother Eddie speaks about it a lot. Brother Edwin spoke about it. I still remember Brother Walter. I was only saved a year and a half when he passed, but how that man preached. I thank God for Brother Gardner. I thank God for all of our ministers. And how this doctrine of praise, you read that in 2 Chronicles, how when Jehoshaphat was faced with an army coming against him, the Lord says, You don't have to even lift a finger in this battle. You just stand still and see the salvation of God. And the Bible does teach us to be still and know that he is God. And as we're still, he speaks to us. And then he leads us into praise. The Bible says that God led Jehoshaphat to appoint unto him singers. In 2 Chronicles 20, as the singers sang, the enemy army started to get confused. And the Bible says the Lord sent ambushments, and they started to slay each other. And they just praised the Lord, and they just rejoiced. And there's a lesson in that. As we rejoice in the Lord, these principalities and these powers, not the good ones, but the bad ones, they get confused. They don't know what to do because they hate a rejoicing Christian. But they start to slay one another. They start to bang into each other. They start to get confused. And the Lord sends ambushments. And it says that in Psalm 22. We heard it last night. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And I'm just so thankful for this doctrine. I will extol thee, O God, King. I will bless thy name forever and forever. And I love that last verse. My mouth shall speak. They're all good, but these two stood out. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and forever. I just thank God for this word. Thank God for praise. We don't love praise, but we love the object of our praise. We love Jesus. We become like that thing that we give ourselves unto, it says in Romans 6. We become addicted to the thing that we give ourselves unto. And Romans 6 says that could be disobedience or it could be righteousness. And I'm so thankful that we give ourselves to prayer and to praise and to Bible study and to church attendance and all these things that God has invented for us to strengthen our faith and strengthen our love and fellowship towards him. I just thank Jesus this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I wrote in my Bible here, a little headed, this was a psalm of praise, but also this was David's last psalm.
Verses 14-16. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living creature. Just thank God that he upholds all those who fall. Mm-hmm. Just going back to that other mention where you make mistakes and sin, that the Lord lifts us up. He raises up all those who are bowed down. So he draws near to those who are humble and thankful that the Lord teaches us to be humble. And that when we're humble and we're broken, that's when we're able to receive what he wishes to teach us. And verse 15, where it talks about the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. That's such a comfort to me that that he takes care of us and that we're in his hand, that our steps are ordered by him, that even though it might be dark around us or that things might be going on, yet if we keep our eyes focused on the Lord, he gives us everything that we need, and he satisfies all the desires of our heart. And just praise the Lord for that.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
I was just looking at where it says, I will meditate on your wonderful works. And in this book I'm reading, he was saying that meditation brings revelation. And so many times we have so many things going on in our minds, and I know myself, I have to learn how to get still before the Lord so I can hear his voice speaking to me.
Verse 10, it says, all you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. Verse 11, they will tell of your of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. And recently I had been thinking a little bit about how, I don't know if any of you do, but once in a while I listen to some of the contemporary Christian music, and I listen to some of the message behind it. And something that struck me as I listen to it, and I'm blessed by it, you know, I'm often sitting in the car, and I can be blessed as I worship the Lord and sing along and just keep the windows up. But there's a message there that I often hear, which is one of just clinging on with my last ounce of strength to maybe possibly have victory. And, oh, God's going to help me, but, you know, I'm really struggling, and I'm really, you know, I'm just, it almost seems like I'm an inch away of failure. But when I read verses like this, and I think about verses where it says that Christ came to give us life and give it to the full, I see something different. I see in the Bible many different passages, a life of victory. And again, here I'm reminded of that. In verse 10 there, his saints will extol him. And in verse 1, as Frank was saying, they'll exalt the king. And David, through the Psalms, yes, he went through lots of struggles, but he had victory through those struggles. And I through that victory, these mighty acts of his glorious splendor, so that all men may know. And I think for us, as we are Christians, as we serve him, we ought to be seeing the hand of God at work in our lives. And I really believe, yes, we're going to go through difficult times and trials. And well, Jesus said, you'll have trials and tribulations, you'll have persecutions. If you belong to me, the world will hate you, just as it hated him. But I see, again, with that, I see a life of victory. And I think the world ought to see a message coming from us where the mighty acts of God are on display in our lives and through our lives. And that ought to be our testimony. And Frank was reminding me of that as well, as he spoke with that brother on the phone, and they were telling of the mighty acts of God. And some of them might seem simple and trivial, but they're not. Nothing the Lord does is trivial. Just because he woke us up, that's not trivial. Sometimes it seems silly, but it's not. you know, God has his hand on our lives, and he has victory for us. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I want my testimony to be that way, marked by a life of victory, not a life of just struggling to get by, because Jesus Christ didn't die so I can just struggle to get by, scraping. Just, you know, he came, he's a king, he's a prophet, he's a priest, and he came to make me a joint heir with him, that I can also be one who is victorious, the one who lives above the fray. I think of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We all know that song, but we don't have to live a life that's, again, I'm repeating myself, but I don't have to live a life that's just always down in the dumps. I think of Uncle Hans. His name always comes up in camp, but I still think, I thought it was so humorous when he talked about the Christians in the dumpers. And we don't have to be in the dumps. We don't have to be just struggling to get by, and sometimes it might feel that way. But Christ came to give us victory. He came to give us life, resurrection life. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
I was becoming a school teacher, and they were telling me you have to have a master's degree. Bachelor's is not enough. So he suggested I go to City College. And I went there, and I had to meet up with some Canadian who looked at my grades and said, Manitoba wouldn't let you go on to a master's. This is no good. The grades are too low. Forget about it. So as I started to walk towards the door, my head was down. I said, oh, man. This man grabbed my arm. He said, stay on this floor, go down four doors. There's Dr. Spielman in there, and he loves to accept students. So I went down there, and he looked at my grades, and he said, son, he says, this life is filled with false starts. But he said, if you would like to try once more, he says, I'm all for it. He accepted me into the program, and I never got so many A's and B's in my life. I wasn't a very good student, but I was getting good grades, and I did get the master's. And I felt so good about that. I went to another school, and I got another master's. And I went to another school, and I got a third master's. And then I was kind of being rewarded, so I went to Yeshiva University and got a doctorate. So, you know, sometimes circumstances kind of get us down in the numbers, as he says. But, you know, if you keep the faith and look unto him, he can give you the victory. Amen.
Amen. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Praise the Lord. And all these things. Well, I love this psalm, and I've heard good things this morning. I love to think of God's greatness and how gracious he is and how faithful and how righteous, and I'm thankful for the things that have been shared. But as I left the palace this morning, I had something else in mind for today, and I was walking down that hill. Some of you know when you come out of the kitchen, there's a little, and all of a sudden it came. Read Psalm 145 in meeting. So I grabbed my Bible, and then I remembered my James Boyce commentary on the Psalms. And I remembered I wanted to refresh my memory on something that he wrote in there, and I was blessed by it. I'm going to read it to you because I think it's a challenge for us. The last verse of Psalm 145, "My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." The last verse of Psalm 145 is the last word we have from David in the Bible. It is his last will and testament. If he had said nothing else in his long life, these words would be a fine legacy for future generations. In it, he praises God and invites others to praise God also. "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord." My mouth, and then let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And this is what he says by way of a challenge for us. What will your legacy be? It will never be better than this one of David. Don't wait until you die. Praise God now and get others to praise God with you. I suppose that none of us will have the influence that David had, but all of our lives influence other lives. I see Lee and Janet there, and the legacy of love and example that they're leaving to their precious children. Those are good children, aren't they? I don't know if they heard me. Anyway, it's great to have them with us. And then Joe and Talia with their children. And then there are grandparents here and other parents whose children aren't here. And what a legacy we can have. What an influence we can exert on other lives. Not just people who have children or grandchildren either, but just to praise God with our lips and with our lives and get others to praise him. He is so faithful, righteous, loving, gracious, and great. And we want to bless his name every day and praise him today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see, Lord, this wonderful psalm that directs us to think, as John told us, to meditate upon you and to be thankful to you for who you are and your great, mighty acts. We pray that you will help us. One generation shall praise the Lord to another. Help us to do that, Lord. Make us a good example of your love and faithfulness, and help us to live before others, and in so doing, encourage them also to exalt the Lord and praise his name and press closer to him. I pray, Lord, that you will just help us this day to walk with you and to serve you in the Holy Spirit, for your name's sake and for your glory. And now let us sing a chorus in closing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known his faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.